I'd come just to hear the music, amen? If you want your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. You thought I was going to say Ephesians, didn't you? I don't forget, I just led a different direction. Luke chapter 4. Very familiar passage to most of you. And normally we would turn to Matthew chapter 4, but let's look at this. Just want to encourage you tonight, maybe give you back a couple of minutes tonight that I took from you this morning. We'll see how it goes. For the summers will hold me to it. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread, may be made bread. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a what? Season. He never departs forever. Just departs for a little time. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight again for the opportunity to come to your house. We pray, Lord, as we just again look at this truth tonight, understanding that all of us go through various temptations and testings. Lord, we pray for your strength and for your power to live the Christian life as we ought. In Jesus' name, amen. Immediately following Jesus' baptism, he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The temptation of Jesus again draws the battle line between God and Satan. The victory, of course, won by Jesus assures us of our victory in resisting the temptation of the devil. Again, the first Adam fell victim, but the second Adam was victorious. Amen? Listen, tonight you have all the resources, and that's where the book of Ephesians comes in. You have all the tools, all the resources you need to live a victorious Christian life. Whatever sin, whatever care, whatever burden that you have tonight, again, God has given you the power and the strength to overcome or go through that situation. And I think, again, it's important that as Christians we be reminded, probably every Sunday, that we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, but we're saved from the power of sin. Amen. Jesus Christ has given us power to overcome sin in our lives. If Jesus said, Be ye holy, for I am holy, then He must have given us the tools to accomplish the command. He would not give us a command and then not give us the ability to fulfill that command. Right? It's very simply this, that as Christians we ought to walk right and do right and live right. Live according to what Jesus Christ would have us live. What would Jesus do? I'm again reminded, and I said I would never look at another Facebook page, but I'm again reminded that as Christians, there are Christians today who are not living during the week what they present on Sunday. Amen. You know, I don't understand it. I'm not saying we're perfect, and none of us are perfect. Amen. But to do out-and-out things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God and make a public spectacle of it is wrong. And we ought to practice what we preach. Practice what we preach. And it's very important. If you're a new Christian, it's important that you grow in the Lord and learn those things which would please the Lord and Savior. Jesus said, If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? And if we love the Lord, we'll do what He asks us to do. We'll live the way He wants us to live. I know I've said this repeatedly. I want to remind you again, review is the best teacher. that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the God of heaven, has our best interest in mind. He didn't put down laws and rules and things so that we couldn't have any fun. He put down laws and rules and commandments to protect us from ourselves. He did those things for our good. Amen. There's certain things we shouldn't do. There's certain things we should do. And boy, that line today has become blurred. We live in a very much not only a pluralistic society, but a society where anything goes. And I know that preachers used to say that 20 years ago, but it's absolutely true. Everything is relative, preacher. What you think is right, what I think is right, is two different things. No, that's not true. The Bible says the Bible's of no private interpretation. You can't have one rule for you and one rule for me. Listen, we must understand that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, He became boss. By the way, if He doesn't become boss, He'll make Himself boss. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Amen. But understand that with this commandment to be holy and to walk right and do right, He's empowered us to do it. Not only has He empowered us, but He's given us His example. And that's what we see here tonight. An example. Jesus Christ, the God-man, fulfilling the law, if you would, living out this life, law-fulfilling life. We see, first off, the spiritual condition of Jesus. The Bible says He was full of the Holy Ghost. In verse 1, His spiritual condition. At the time of His temptation, the Holy Spirit was there with Him, abiding with Him. And let me tell you today, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have the Holy Ghost. As a man, He was spiritually equipped to meet Satan because He was full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit. In order for us to win the victory over temptation and Satan, we must be filled with the Spirit. The more the Spirit has control of your life, the better you're able to overcome temptation. I was reading through a set of lessons I taught several years ago, and I was reading the illustration that when we are overcoming a sin in our life and God is working in us and we're striving to live right and do right, and maybe you have a habit that you're trying to overcome, and maybe that habit is here, right here, and you're trying to overcome that habit, and you begin to develop your relationship with God and begin to read your Bible and pray and seek God's power and strength to overcome this habit or this sin in your life, and pretty soon you get away from it, right? You walk a step away, and you're reading, and you're studying, you're going to church, and singing the praises and hymns of God, and hanging around good Christian people, and doing all the things that would influence you to live a godly life and do godly things, and so forth. And you walk another step away from it, and you continue. You start having family devotions with your kids, and you just keep rolling, right? Just keep rolling. Maybe you throw out another little habit you shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden you step three or four steps away from it. There's that habit that you've had for, 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 20 years, whatever sin that so easily besets you. By the way, every one of us has one. You say, preacher, I don't drink and I don't chew, I don't go with girls that do. I don't have one of those habits you're talking about. You've got one. It may be gossip. It may be bitterness. It could be several. It don't have to be, my dad used to chew. Eber Crawford and the Crawford family used to chew. Me and my brother broke the cycle, right? And my dad, when he got saved, a couple of years after he got saved, he stopped chewing. But that's because the preacher asked him to teach a Sunday school class. And couldn't teach a Sunday school class and chew, but he gave up chewing, gave his money to missions. I've given you that story before. But as we walk with the Lord and develop that relationship, we walk in the light and we follow in the Lord, we continue to step away from that habit. But understand, many times we fall. The great thing about it, if you have been walking with the Lord, when you fall, you shouldn't fall four or five steps back. Amen. The closer you walk with the Lord, the closer that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and so forth, the further away you get from your habit. When you fall, you won't fall all the way back. Here's what I'm saying. When you're filled with the Spirit and the Lord empowers you to live the life of that Jesus Christ intended for you to live, don't walk right here. Walking right here only puts you one step away from walking right here. You know what I'm saying. I don't have to spell it out, do I? I might for some of you. You know, and for me as well. Don't, you know, if you've got a problem with whatever, man, make sure you step way away from it. Get away from it. Because you more than likely are going to fall again. It's kind of like the person who's trying to quit drinking. Normally, and probably, the first time you quit drinking is not the first time you're really going to quit. You're going to have to quit several times. Now, I'm not talking about drinking like drinking Coke or Dr. Pepper, which that's hard too sometimes. You ever try to quit drinking sweet tea for a week and see what happens? Man, especially when you have as much sugar in as we do. I get that headache, man, that caffeine and sugar. But when you're trying to quit many times, you know, it's not the first time you quit that you quit. You got to keep at it. How are we to overcome? How are we to be in the spiritual condition we ought to be in order to overcome the stubborn habits or the sins in our life? And that's by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to empower us to live the Christian life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness. By the way, He was alone. He was forsaken. Sometimes we think we're in the wilderness and no one sees us. Let me tell you, the verse this morning in Psalm 90 says, I didn't get a chance to even touch on it. He sees our secret sins. No matter where we go, the Lord is there. But He was alone. You know, it's alone when you're alone that your character is truly tested or proven. Character is what you are, what you do, or what you are when nobody's looking. That's who you really are. Man, that's tough, isn't it? But that's what you really are. We also see the physical condition of the Lord Jesus. He was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days. Then we see that He was, again, tempted in three different manners by the devil. Of course, the devil was the instigator in the temptation. I'm sorry, the instrument. The Holy Spirit was the instigator. The instigator, He led Him out into the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil. In Matthew 4:1, the Bible reads that He was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. The intention of the temptation was, number one, it was proof that the Father approved, that the Father's approval was deserved. God, the Father's approval of His Son was deserved. Jesus Christ was without sin. Amen? Number two, that He might become our faithful and merciful High Priest. Hebrews chapter 2 says that he did not have to offer a sacrifice for Himself first, like the priest Aaron did and the other priests, the Levites, had to do. No, He had no sin. He offered one sacrifice of Himself forever. Amen? So, He was to prove that He was to become a faithful and merciful High Priest. Number three, that He might exemplify His sinless humanity and perfect submission to the will of God. In other words, John says He did that which pleased the Father. Always pleased the Father. John chapter 8. He did that which pleased the Father. He exemplified His sinless humanity in perfect submission to the will of God. We ought to yield to the will of God. Amen? Number four, that He might be humanly prepared for His ministry. That He might be humanly prepared for His ministry. Number six, or whatever this is, He exposed the tactics of the enemy and revealed to us how we can overcome when we are tempted. So He showed us, He exemplified for us how to overcome temptation. Again, the first Adam was tempted in the beautiful garden and failed. The last Adam was tempted in a dangerous wilderness and succeeded. It's amazing to me that the Lord Jesus again was tempted of the devil, hunger, thirsty, alone. As a man, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. He hungered. He got sleepy. He got tired. And yet when under the pressure, when under the temptation, He did not fail. He succeeded. Why? Because He was God-man. God cannot sin. Let me remind you, And some have asked the question, could Jesus have sinned? No. If he could have sinned, he would not have been God. Amen? You say, well, then why was he tempted? The points I just gave you. For our example. Again, as a proof that he was a faithful and merciful high priest to exemplify his sinless humanity. He was a man. Amen? Who sits at the right hand of the throne of God? A man does. A representative of mankind. And again, a proof of the Father's approval of him. We see three phases of the temptation. The first phase of the temptation was an appeal to the physical appetite. Again, Satan basically saying to the Lord, would a loving father let you go hungry? You know, God fed the Israelites in the wilderness. Why hasn't he fed you? Look there with me, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus had fasted 40 days and nights and was hungry. And Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus again refused to yield to Satan's temptation. By the way, it's better to be hungry in the will of God than be satisfied out of the will of God. Amen. I'd much rather be in the will of God and hungry than to be satisfied as such and be out of the will of God. I want to be right where God has me. If Jesus had yielded, the consequences would have been devastating. He would have shown his lack of faith and power in God to provide for his human needs, and he would have misused his miraculous miracle power in order to prove his sonship. Every need, everyone has a need. We have a physical need as well as our spiritual needs. Physical would also there contain emotional and relational needs. And the Lord provides them all. Amen. We don't have to go to the world to get our physical needs or spiritual needs met. The Lord will supply those needs. Amen? What digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. Eat upon the bread of life, the Word of God. You want to grow in the Lord? Feed upon the Word of God. I'm going to hopefully, Lord willing, preach Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 next Sunday morning, if the Lord will let me. But that's the verse that Jesus quoted. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. Let's be reminded that it's not the physical food that's important, it's spiritual food. Again, we can live as sorts hungry, but we certainly don't want to live spiritually hungry. And the Lord provided those needs for us. Number two, we see the spiritual ambition would appeal to his spiritual ambition. Satan tried to entice Jesus to worship him by promising to give him the kingdom of the world, which are in this age under the dominion of Satan, who is the god of this world. Look there with me in verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, notice, again, God, Jesus is exemplifying for us how to overcome temptation. The first time, he presents Satan with a scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone. Here he gives us Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. And we should worship the Lord God, and him only should we serve. How are we to overcome temptation? Through the Word of God. Again, I'll never forget my dad making me memorize Romans chapter 6. And using that verse over, and I still use it over and over again when I'm tempted or tested or whatever. And said, you know, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We should not use the grace of God as an excuse to sin. Jesus, again, called back that God is the only one who should be worshipped. Jesus refused to yield to Satan. The kingdoms of this world will one day be given to Christ by God the Father. One day He will rule and reign, as we've learned this week. These are the reasons His willingness to suffer death on the cross. He suffered death for us, also knowing that one day that all the enemies will be put under His feet. Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He will one day be King of Kings. But by the way, right now, He has been given a name which is above every name. And He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Suffering always comes before the glory. The cross always comes before the crown. Again, Satan's shortcuts lead to damnation and strife. Don't shortcut things. That would go for anything. See, He offered him the world, but knowing that Jesus Christ one day would be given the world by His Heavenly Father. Well, so that would be a shortcut. He would have it, could have it now. Don't shortcut God. Whether it's in business, trying to shortcut things and do something dishonest in order to make a buck, or whatever it may be, don't shortcut. Amen. Don't let the devil feed you a lie. Again, we see being tempted by Satan. Jesus Christ quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. Thirdly, verse 9. And He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the third phase here is the temptation was an appeal to presume on the mercies of God. Oh, you can do that. God will take care of you. Satan tempted Jesus to jump off the temple. In other words, Satan wanted Jesus to do something spectacular in order to prove His sonship. At this point, Satan refers to the Scripture found in Psalm 91. However, he misquotes it, leaving out words, in all thy ways. Again, we see here the offer of self-acclamation. Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll jump off the deal, God will save you. And in doing so, you'll prove your sonship. You'll prove you are the Son of God. And people will see you for who you are. No, they're going to see Him for who He is one day. When He returns in clouds of glory. Amen? With His vesture dipped in blood. Oh, man. And He will, as I said, rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see Jesus was tempted as the representative man. He represents you and me as being tempted here by Satan. He represents us. That is, we are all, the Bible says, tempted. The Bible says, in this world you shall have tribulation. And we're going to have temptations. We're going to suffer loss. We're going to have burdens and cares. Paul says that Jesus was tempted in all parts as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad today Jesus Christ lived without sin. If He hadn't lived without sin, we could not have salvation. Amen. His righteous record, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, His righteous record is placed to my account. My sinful record is erased, and Christ's sinless record is put in its place. Amen. Imputed righteousness. So important. That's found in Romans chapter 4 and 5. Understand that now. Had Jesus given in to temptation, had He given a temptation under Satan's directions here, we would not have salvation. Aren't you glad He didn't give in? Amen? And let me tell you, He couldn't have. Again, He couldn't have. He was God. You say, well then why did Satan tempt Him? Why did Satan test Him? If He knew that He couldn't give... Satan doesn't know everything. We give Satan way too much credit sometimes. And I understand he's a powerful being, but he's not all-powerful. He very much knows a lot of things, but he's not all-knowing. And he's got a lot of imps around, and they keep track of us, and they know the things we commit and do and so forth, but he's not all-knowing. I give you one to think about and ponder. Does the devil know your thoughts? If you're saved, how can the devil know your thoughts if he's not all-knowing? Jesus is the one who's all-knowing. Amen? All right, we won't get into that. But Jesus Christ was without sin. Sinless. That in order that He might live that law-fulfilling life for us. In order that we might have a law-fulfilling record before God. I said this morning, our standing before God is perfect. I stand before you perfect tonight. My standing before God. And that my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Because the Bible describes me as being in Christ. Ephesians says it over and over again. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I am in Christ. When God looks down from heaven, He doesn't see Eric Crawford's sinfulness. He sees Jesus Christ's sinlessness. Amen. My standing before God is perfect. My state is another thing. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. We certainly don't want to ever get the attitude of the Pharisees and Sadducees and look down upon people and say, oh, I'm in Christ, you know. No, we're still sinners saved by grace. And through the Holy Spirit, we can live a law-fulfilling life. Not a perfect life. But we can please the Heavenly Father. Christ defeated Satan by using the Word of God, thus making it possible for us to overcome the tempter and be victorious in the hour of temptation. Again, 1 Corinthians, a very familiar passage we quote a lot and allude to a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I'll go read it real quick. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I'm again just blown away at the people who either email me or come to my office, either for counseling or for help, and you find that all couples, as well as individuals, have the same problems. It's just like people who come to me and ask Bible questions, or more importantly, Brother Stewart. I love asking him Bible questions. But you know, for the most part, there's 25 or 30 Bible questions that everybody likes to ask. You get those 25 or 30 down, you pretty well cover 90% of what people are going to ask. Really. You understand that 90% of everyone in this auditorium has the same problems or has had the same problems in their marriages, in their families, whatever. You say, well, preacher, mine's different. You know, I'm unusual. Most of the time, not. In fact, I would say it's 99% of the time. You realize the trouble you're having as a couple, the marital problems or having issues with children, that other couples in this room have dealt with the same thing? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. Sometimes we get the Elijah syndrome and we say, God, I'm the only one left. Only one left serving you. No. You're not alone. You're not alone. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Aren't you glad of that? God is faithful. He knows your problems. He knows your temptations. He knows your burdens. He hasn't left you. He's there right beside you. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you are able. He's not going to put on more on you than you can handle through His power, through His strength. Amen. You believe that? You believe that? Do you believe it? Whether it's at your workplace or with your kids or in your marriage, whatever it may be, God is not going to put you through more than you're capable of handling. He will, the Bible says here, make a way with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I remind you again that when you go through the fire, it's God who has His hand on the thermostat. He does. Jesus Christ was tempted and tested of the devil. Did not give in. Did not fail. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. But God can use difficult experiences to put the best into us. Temptation is Satan's weapon to defeat us, but it can become God's tool to build us. Absolutely. The trials, the testings we go through, sometimes are there to slap us around and put us back on the right track, and that helps us. Sometimes our temptations and testings are simply there to build our faith, to grow us in the Lord. Turn to 1 John and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 2. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Why? Well, that's because there's really just three areas of temptation. And we've covered this before, but good review. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the three areas in which Satan and the world and so forth, these are the areas in which we are tempted or tested. The lust of the flesh. Satan told Jesus, turn these stones into bread. He was tempting the flesh. Man, our flesh is hungry. I'm hungry right now. But you understand what I'm saying. Our fleshly appetites, which if many could look into some of us, we'd be abhorred, wouldn't we? Our fleshly appetites, make no provision for the flesh, the Bible says. We need to be careful. Understand that Satan tempted Jesus in this area, and he'll tempt you in this area. The lust of the flesh. Listen, Satan will tell you, you can have all the fun you want. You can do anything you want. No. No, you better. We live by what? The Word of God. You better quote old Satan the Scriptures and tell him to get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? Oh, flesh. Man, oh, flesh. And tell the flesh to get behind you. That flesh is terrible. I think the flesh is a lot worse than the devil. For me personally, sometimes I take the Word of God and knock the devil out, but my flesh is a different story. Take the Word of God. Grow in the Lord. Number two, the lust of the eye. Jesus again tempted here. I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you the world, Satan said to him. Many people are just caught up in the fortunes of this world and what they can have. Some people are caught up in what they can do and the fun they can have, the things they can do and so forth. But some people are caught up in the fortunes and caught up in what they can have, the bigger home, the nicer car and so forth. Well, we need to be careful. Realize, though, Satan wants to get you. He wants to entrap your finances. Absolutely he does. He wants you to get in a financial mess. He wants you to borrow more than you should and do more than you should financially. Right? Don't let him tempt you. Amen. I know Brother Harry had the financial seminar here a while back. Let me just tell you a couple of things that I believe. About the only thing that we really should have borrowed money on is a house. Houses has equity in it. Therefore, though it is a debt, hopefully it won't be. In this economy, it may be a debt. But, there's exceptions there. But I think every person ought to have the goal to pay their house off. Amen? And besides that, we ought to be very, very careful what we do with our money. Hello? Nobody home. Lust of the eye. You know, you walk into Best Buy and you say, "Woo! I can have that. I can put out 50 more bucks a month. No interest. Hey there!" Be careful. You know what they'll do if you don't make that payment? They charge you about 21% to 31% interest. Oh, be careful. Careful, little eyes, what you see. Number three, the pride of life. Jump off the pinnacle here. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And God will save you, and you'll be seen as the Son of God with power over the whatever, and you'll be as God, and people will see that. Oh, the pride of life. The pride of life. Some people are just seeking fame, seeking stature, seeking applause. Let me tell you, let me again remind you, as a Christian, you're going to give an account for your works, whether they be good or bad. What's the difference? Motivation. What's the difference between a good work and a bad work? Motivation. Are you seeking man's applause? Or what are you teaching or singing for the Lord? Amen. You know how you can tell? Oh man, I'm going to make somebody mad. When you don't get this, what reaction do you have? You know why we don't clap after somebody sings? Unless it's our Sunday afternoon singing, which is a singing. Because we're not here clapping for the person who's singing. We're not giving applause to them. It's to the Lord. Amen? That person singing is not there to put us on a show. Amen? I tell people when I knock on a door and I visit a family, and I say, "Preacher, we love your church. We love the Heritage Baptist Church. We love it. It's not a production." They're used to the majority of churches now are putting on production on Sunday morning, Sunday night. The lights and the fog and everything else, right? The steel guitar, the long-haired drummer. You realize the Bible still says it's a shame for man to have long hair in the New Testament. That's not Old Testament teaching. That's New Testament teaching. I'm just making sure somebody's still at home. Amen. It says it, right? I've had somebody say to me, "Preacher, the Bible says it's a shame, but it says it's a sin." Oh, my goodness. What's the difference between being ashamed and a sin? Oh, okay, then it's a shame for you to have long hair. And God's looking down for you in shame. Okay. I'll get with Brother Summers after church this evening to take care of that. Actually, it's Brother Silas. You need help, brother. The little blade fell off, didn't it, when you were... That's happened before. Listen tonight. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted for several reasons. We named them a moment ago. But He was tempted that He might be an example to us. Listen, you've been given power through the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation in your life. And that temptation not only can be a sin, but it can be the temptation of a trial. And you've been given the power to go through those trials. And God has a purpose for those trials and temptation to grow us, to refine us as gold in the fire. Amen? Listen this morning. Man shall not live by bread alone. Let's take the Word of God this week and let's read it. Let's grow in the Lord. Let's do all we can to grow closer to Him and further away from the things of this old world. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand.